Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores, and I'm broadcasting live from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Tonight's show is going to be very interesting. We're going to dive deep into the subconscious and try to sort it out a little bit, and hopefully we can find our way back and then find some ways to build upon what we learned when we were in there. So today's show is called There's No Way Out But Through. And again, that fact keeps coming to the surface as we progress in our journey, that it's just unavoidable that we have to kind of deal with what we find in there once we start looking around. But first, we have to know that we need to look around. It's interesting what's going on in the world right now, that I think many people are starting to look for more in their life. They're starting to question things and just feeling that, hey, I sense something's going on here. I sense that there's a bigger play, cosmic play, lila, as they say in Indian tradition, the cosmic play. There's something going on. And it's not just us. So we definitely have to consider that anew. Reflect on the fact that in our life from the beginning, we definitely have all kinds of input. We hear things, we see things. People are giving us instruction all the time, and we learn to rely on that and see ourselves the way others see us. And this is definitely a key point to consider, that along the line we can lose ourselves playing our roles in the various social networks that we're a part of. We end up believing that so many of these behaviors and tendencies are ourselves. We think that we are some of these things. And we get immersed in it. We've never seen ourselves outside of ourselves. That's one of the first things I bring up to people, is to just consider yourself outside of yourself, as if from the sky looking down. Or, you know, just think about how you were raised and grew up, and just how much of that depended on the circumstance you were born into. Would you be the same person if you were born in Australia instead of America, or had different cultural tendencies around you and different lessons being taught to you as you grew up? A lot of these things shape our development. As time goes on, we definitely need to consider that we can go even farther. That all that is good, but we must get some space between ourselves and the input from the outside world. Beginning with the fact that we have five senses. We have eyes, ears, nose, touch, and taste. Smell, instead of just nose, but you know what I mean. We have five sense organs, and each one of these, all the time, picking up data from the environment. And it's not picking up all the data, it's picking up a slice of data, a range of perception capability. And we will go into that more over time, what that means, these various spectrums and their input and how it affects us. So first we get five windows delivering us information, and then they get imprinted on the brain, which then makes it into a singularity again and again and again each moment. And we're kind of trained to consider that to be reality. And when we get grooving on our brain patterns and our habitual thoughts and get into a routine with a job or something where you do the same thing every day, drive the same route, kind of watch the same shows at night, same TV shows, and talk to the same people, and we can kind of feel stuck. And I think a lot of people are bumping into that threshold of where they know there's got to be more. And what I think is different today than maybe in the past is we feel pushed along for some reason. We feel like we can't just ignore this call. And it's good. This is the soul call. This is our heart starting to awaken. Our energy, our vibration level rises, and we start opening to a whole nother realm of possibilities. But this can't happen until we allow ourselves to consider it as being possible. And this is what the repentance is all about, the turning around point. Repentance doesn't have anything to do with guilt. It isn't to feel bad about what you've done and to beat yourself up over it or something. It's more just like, wait a minute, I understand. I kind of realize that I've just been wandering around based on these expectations of others or just whatever happens to fall in front of us. We kind of stumble our way forward through these situations, and for some reason our relationships keep getting into difficulty, and we get these feelings that seem unresolvable. But they're not. That's the good news. Everything is okay, and we can work this all out. We can figure out what it is. This is one of the goals of the creative cosmos, is that I just want everyone to know that it's possible. We can do this. We can rise higher. Something is happening. We are awakening. There is something more. And I can tell you, it's wonderful. It's whatever we dream, it's even more. It's every dream. It's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. That's what they mean. It is all things. It's there, and we can do it. And when we understand, everything's okay. Everything just falls into place, and we see, in retrospect, why we've had some of these feelings. But first, we have to acknowledge that everything hasn't been perfect thus far before we can move into the new territory. And we can trust in this vulnerability that we understand that we aren't held accountable universally for our transgressions, because there is a built-in law of the universe called the law of forgiveness, or at least that's how I refer to it, because I felt it spring forth in my heart that when I admitted to my mistakes in life, I felt this blooming in my heart, this overflowing grace come upon me. And I knew that I was okay. I knew it was okay. I knew I was forgiven. It's built into the system that, hey, we come here, and we don't know what we're doing, and upon incarnation, we lose touch with our higher self just because of the density of going through the process. And then we get mixed up in what's going on down on Earth when we get down here. And it's not surprising that we make a lot of mistakes. And if people are hurt, kind of hurting each other, it's not surprising that we model what we see and we get involved in that and wreak some chaos. That we could see any God or intrinsic law of the universe. If we can consider things philosophically, cannot that which created us see beyond? It only makes sense that we make some mistakes. But if we continue to just insist on making those mistakes and again and again and again get locked in. See, this is the scary thing. This is what worries me when I see someone get locked in, when their thought patterns close in upon themselves and don't leave any room for anything new. Mystics often refer to it as one who thinks he knows. That's the worst state to be in, because the beauty of the existence is that it's unknowable. It never runs out of new things springing forth, or new areas to explore, or we can grow more and more all the time. We don't come to a stop. We don't attain to some ideal which we then just have to stay at. The beauty is when things change, loosen up, flow through, and expand, we can just go along with it and not get in the way of the process. So we must relax the ego defenses. We need to lower our guard and admit we don't have all the answers. And that's not so bad. It's really quite a relief. And it takes some of the burden off of us to understand that the universe has rules and it has its own way, and it's conscious. Consciousness permeates every atom of existence. If we can become a conscious, then we can relate to all things animate and inanimate. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Hey, you, everybody, it's everywhere. You see, we have to kind of do strange and odd and interesting and intricate things to get your attention, to break up the patterns. Thoughts just get in there and they grind away and they grind away. And let me tell you, one thing we can really take note of and begin the process of sorting through is how we see the world based on the knowledge that we've acquired, just the information. You see, a lot of people, as they even get into higher levels of learning, feel that when they see the world, they see it colored by that which they've accrued. You gain all this knowledge and you read all these facts, and that's all good. We just have to be free from it. We are the ones who are soaking that information up so that we can be more aware as the new moment arrives. Not to have a preset plan that we put into motion, because we will never see the past repeat itself exactly the same way. The universe doesn't do that. It continues to move along, and if we don't continue to move along with it, we are going to suffer, and we will suffer until we learn this lesson. And even as we begin to see this, there's a hesitance, and that's why I'm here, and others like myself also, because we just want to tell you that, hey, we understand. Somebody did this before, and it was scary. It wasn't a piece of cake. That's part of the point of doing the show. There's no way out but through. It isn't always going to be easy, and it isn't always going to be happiness. There are some difficult things we have to deal with if we really want to be well in the long term. We have to trust ourselves and our own perceptions. So each situation that comes up, rather than relying on somebody else or the television discourse or what passes for a discourse, this dichotomy that shapes your mind either way you go with it, rather than that, consider for yourself all the possibilities. There's not two sides to every story. There's endless sides to every story. There are as many realities as there are people upon the earth, or even further, entities living who can perceive an existence. So it's a very vast realm. It's a huge thing, and it takes time to get used to. It's good that it isn't really fast. It would send such a fright into us, we'd be frozen solid. I remember seeing a movie, one of the old Charlton Heston movies about Moses, where he saw the face of God and came back down and looked like he was 20 years older and grew a long beard. Well, there's a reason. Because it's a lot to take. So we have to ready the vessel, ready our body to start moving into these other ways of perceiving. So get this, it's not just this 3D world, your life and the politics and your social networks and other countries and other people and things over here and things over there and things over there. Well, that's just the starting point. That's just the surface. As we go deeper inwards, it starts becoming much more subtle and, in many ways, more beautiful, because that which is in the 3D world is a denser representation of the idea behind it in the astral realm. So we begin deprogramming the mind. Start going back the road that brought you here. Start with right now, where we are, where all of us are. Think back to a year ago and a couple years ago and maybe some events that led you here and the information you gained in that time, and keep going backwards all the way back to childhood and all the way back to zero. Because in the end, everything we picked up, we are going to have to get space from. We have to unlearn what we've learned to be free to see the moment in its transparency, in its newness, in its poignancy, to be able to enter so deeply in the present that we see not just the surface, but we see deeper in. Instead of seeing solid people, we see energy fields. Instead of just the picture, we can see a realm. We can see a whole universe. You see, the artist was probably trying to share his own insight with you, not dictate terms which you interpret and criticize, but to open a gateway, a portal, something you could jump through and bathe yourself in to experience for yourself, and then now it is yours. Now you can carry it on your own. So we have to consider everything in our mind, every fact we picked up, every brain pattern that's grooved in. We have to relax these. You see, our mind does this, the higher function of the mind maybe the other 90% of the mind they say we don't use that much. It stores everything. There's not one thing that we've ever done that isn't stored in the mind somewhere. Or you could say stored in our being behind the mind, or the soul which illuminates the mind. But we spend so much energy and so much tension carrying these limited views that we hold on to, when we could relax it, know it anyway, and yet leave ourselves open to everything else. It's simply a relaxed state of mind. Your awareness, your presence, the more you are here, the more you'll be able to discern what's happening. You don't need to remember and you don't need to try. You just need to be free to go with the moment and maintain consciousness. And another thing that we have to do in order to get here, get in a fluid state of where our energy is flowing freely, is one way or another we have to release our pent-up emotions. So first there are the stresses in the mind, in the grooves in the mind, and that which we coalesce to interpret the world through that we need space from. But now we also have these emotions, some of which have been frozen into place. Imagine if years ago, maybe somewhere in your childhood, someone came up and gave you a smack, and you were small and you were weak, and you couldn't say anything. Then time goes on and you go through life, but that pain never went anywhere. It just sat there. And maybe that same person who gave you a smack would never let you express that, until you someday got away, and maybe by the time you got away, you forgot you even could express that. But that's just one thing. So many unexpressed feelings and so much pain gets bottled up over time, and we get separate from it. And then if we bring it up, someone may even suggest that, hey, that's the past. You got to let the past go. But you have to resolve the past so that the past goes on its own. You can't choose to forget the pain. The emotions are a little different than the mind. The mind you can definitely sort through rationally and just get the computer in fine working order. But the emotions you definitely have to follow through on. You have to dive in there, and some of it can be pretty scary. And this is really an important area. This is a very intense thing that I think many people don't even consider or don't even go into. It's like off limits. It's just this big scary thing that we don't talk about. But again, there's no way out but through. We have to get this out. We have to face it, or it'll never go away. And like I said, it definitely can be scary. And you know, this is one way we can work with some of these things, is we can give it an active expression. One thing I tell people who are beginning this process, and even though I say it, they don't realize the full extent of what I'm saying until later on. When I say it is extreme, you got to deal with the extremes. Like, you're going to feel things and need to express things which are just wildly extreme. And see, this is part of the missing link as well. We can do this. We can get this stuff out. We can even freak out. There's nothing wrong with doing a freak out once in a while and screaming and yelling, but not at each other to hurt each other, but in a safe environment somewhere. Like, hey, if you're driving around town, car is a pretty private place. Maybe you can just let a big scream go in the car, you know? Right now, if you're sitting at home alone, try scream on for size. It's not so bad. If you feel hesitant, well, we'll all feel hesitant at first. That's the doubt. That's the frozen energy trying to remain frozen. we need to experience all the realms of expression in order to have them at our command in a relaxed state in the moment. And the reason it feels so intense is just because we haven't allowed it to take its natural route. So just maybe be screaming once in a while, just to get some of this frustration out. Then we won't hurt each other with it. We can even create a situation where we are working on it together with our loved ones, with our friends, and with our family, that we talk about it ahead of time, you know. And if we need to cry, if some of these feelings that, you know, once we suggest to our subconsciousness, yes, I'm ready, and I'm open and in a receptive state, things will start bubbling up. We don't have to go in searching for them in the emotions. We just need to allow them to work their way to the surface. The vibration that is in the universe itself will work these things to the top when you have made the decision to shift the focus of your life from mundane affairs to your own awakening and realization of all your potential. So when we cry, we need to cry fully. No choking back the tears. No feeling ashamed or shy. That a good hearty cry, and especially men too, a cry could be just what the doctor ordered. You could start out in sorrow over a lost part of yourself in the past, but then suddenly find that this sorrow is starting to transform into something else. And suddenly, what was a cry of sorrow becomes tears of joy, because this energy is now working its way through, and you're giving it expression, and suddenly you feel it's relief, and now you're part of the universe, and you feel the gift of life itself. We've been taught to kind of hold all these things in. And, you know, even if we look and we find some anger, maybe we're really mad about something, or even have just this burning, why did that happen? Or why did somebody do that to me? Well, hey, that's life, you know, that's people, that's being human. We're going to get those feelings sometimes. The key is to not allow that feeling to possess you and act itself out in the life, you see. We have to just observe it and know that we are not it. And that is the Buddhist principle of non-doing, that when these things come up, you just watch them and we see them. We don't judge them, because that will just pull us into the morass. But we see it for what it is, and we accept it. And that will turn the anger into happiness. It isn't wrong to have feelings and to feel, experience all these things deep inside. It's a normal human process. And you don't always have to be happy to be spiritual. Sometimes, truthfully responding to the situation is being spiritual. And if you feel upset about something, you're not to put on a false face, put on a smile when your heart doesn't feel one, because this will just mess things up, and it'll mess your own process up. And instead of just acting out, say if you're feeling kind of down in one evening, and instead of just acting out, you could explain, well, hey, everybody, I kind of feel a little down, but I know what's going on, and it'll pass, just like everything else. And that's part of creating an atmosphere of safety in, well, as we deal with these really hot feelings and start seeing the world in a different way, it helps to be doing this with others who are also doing the same thing. We have others who understand we are going to be expressing these things and feel, and they themselves feel okay to express their things, well, now we're beginning to build our own Sangha, one of Buddha's three gems. Integral part is the community that assists us in this process of transformation. Hiding has caused the pain to continue. Understanding will free. So, once we have released some of these emotions and untied some of these mental knots, and we start getting more energy flowing, we can start dealing with the truth in the moment as it presents itself. Now that we are untying the past and seeing ourselves in a whole new light, seeing our potential in a new light, all of reality in a different way, our soul will start moving into this space we've made in the body. We will give birth to ourselves anew and start making conscious choices that are in line with this on a daily basis. And as we get stronger and more in tune with this, we'll be less prone to fall into the old habits and more successful in moving forward. Now you see, these old habits will keep coming up, no doubt, and they will try to reassert themselves again and again. That's why perseverance is necessary. And sometimes you can lose heart, you could get tired of it and just wish it would stop. Because it doesn't stop for a while, you know, it does seem like one thing after another. We heal one pain and we get deeper into our subconscious and find something even harder to deal with. And then we finally come to grips with that, release all that, have a tremendous high and fly on that for a while, and maybe we think we got it licked. But then next thing you know, something else presents itself. And often we'll be exposed to something in our lives which will provoke that within us which we most need to become aware of to heal ourselves and become whole. That's the master in the moment. Whatever circumstance comes to get us to face the next thing it is we have to face. And once again, we go back to the beginning, that if we can relax the ego and our defenses and not react in a harmful way, but kind of admit to our fault, and then the process of forgiveness will take over. We will heal, and it will be done. So as we continue to move on, our relationships will change. All of our relationships will change. If we change, and we're talking about a dramatic change, a tremendous change, an amazing change. And not everybody's going to be thrilled for you. And not everybody's going to be ready to open up to this idea themselves. And that's fine. We awaken when it's our time. And whatever happens, all is as it should be. But it definitely is something we have to deal with. We change. Suppose you're in a group of four friends that you've had for 10 years, and you've all kind of played a role. You've all played a role in the mini community. Someone might be the funny one. Someone might be the laid-back one. Someone might be the artist of the bunch. But suppose you don't want to play that role anymore. Suppose you're tired of it. Doing the same thing again and again, no matter how fun or interesting, will become a prison to someone who is sensitive to the higher realms. And some of you out there who aren't so sensitive and see some of the strange behavior of others who say they are, consider that fact. Think about that. Maybe they're perceiving something you don't know about. And they need understanding and support, not judgment, and something that tries to force them back into the old way. If you want to change and someone is trying to force you to stay the same, it is a type of violence. And in my view, we have every right to move away from it, because this is a crime against humanity, something against the life inside of us. If a boot wants to trample upon the budding flower, someone who tells the boot to back off is doing a service to life. And maybe to the one with the boot, it'll get them to think. Maybe they've been trampling on flowers their whole life, never considering the effect they have on those around them. And it takes someone to say, hey, wait a minute. I have a right to be myself. I have a right to try something new. I have a right to move and do what I feel called to do with my life. And you'll find some of your friends and acquaintances and relatives will move with you, and it will be a blessing. And some may pass away into the past because they could not change with you, and that's okay. We need to develop the strength and courage not to compromise this. This is so important. Once we become aware of ourselves and get more in tune with the call and start to feel more intensely every moment and the things which occur to us, we need to have the power to move with this. And there will definitely be a fear factor. We will definitely have some fear or hesitation, but we're not going to do it perfectly right away. Sometimes we have to kind of muddle through things to figure it out. Something that has no starting point, we have to dive into. And have faith. This is where faith comes in. When we feel that call, we can follow it if we have faith. After going through this process for a little while, new talents will start emerging. New interests, because without being trapped in your old parameters of, well, Jimmy likes this, Jimmy likes that, doesn't like this, doesn't like that, based on training, education, well, Jimmy just does this thing with his life. No, all that is of the past. We can do anything, anytime, anywhere. Every moment. We have no limitations. So we will open up to new talents and new possibilities. Suddenly we might feel a draw to something. Maybe we've never been on the water before, but now that the soul is moving into the body and all the experience that we've gained in the past life starts seeping its way to the surface, because this will happen once we understand what's occurring, start to get hip to the whole universal idea and the galaxy and the stars and space and aliens and ghosts and all the magnificent splendor of the other realms, we'll start also remembering our greater soul journey, that path which brought us here to this life so we could experience our next lessons, so we could find ourselves once again, catch up, get back to not just the progression of ages 0 to 35 or 0 to 50 or however old anybody is listening to this, but your whole span, your whole celestial journey, and everything that's happened along the way. You've learned many things in other situations. Suddenly you may completely understand Shakespeare, whereas before you hardly even liked to read. So many things like this will present themselves. And just go with it. That's the beauty. Anything that strikes you in the moment, any new idea, go with it. Learn about it. Express yourself. Try new things. It's fun to even learn you don't like something. I had never tried very many new food dishes. Sometimes I will eat something and I'll be delighted to know that I don't like it. I'll be like, wow, how about that? I don't like it. Well, that's pretty cool. And sometimes I'll find things I like, and some things I'll just not be that interested in. But the key is that it's the center of me, the individual that I am. It's not due to habits or expectations that I make my choices. It's due to my own link and trust in intuition. And we can each find this link and trust our intuition in this kind of a way. And when we do, our life will then unfold according to God's plan, as they say. If we live our nature wholly, fully, totally, well, where did this nature come from? And if we don't live our nature and don't fulfill our potential, one could even make an argument that it's an insult to God. But of course, God doesn't really feel that way, probably, you know. But hey, you see where I'm going with it, the point I'm trying to make. Neither here nor there, the specificity. It's whether you are provoked in the way that awakens the realization, so you kind of say, hey, I get what you're saying. The vibe, you see, I can talk on and on and on, and I will talk on and on and on. I can't wait to speak with the people out there. Soon the radio show will be able to interact with callers. Next week, I'm going to do my first interaction with a guest, Indian in the Machine. He's a great musician and artist and spiritual person who has a lot of original thoughts on some of these very things. He had his own awakening moment where he has an awakening story of how he found himself amidst the din of the world and changed his life. This is for everybody. This is something we can all tune into and make happen for ourselves. We're worth it. We deserve it. We were born to live truthfully. There is no obstacle in our way. There are no limitations. And further, the universe itself, you see, we could call it any name, the existence, the universe, and God. But there is a presence, a consciousness, a knowingness that knows about you specifically. Not in any kind of a distant way, not just as some footnote to history. Each person is so important to the whole. And when you begin to open up and make your link and tune into the universe, you join the eternal celebration. And you understand the phrase, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because it is at hand. It's at hand every moment of every day. It's at hand even now. Listen, right now, in this moment, you may be in a room somewhere, but beyond that wall, beyond that ceiling, is open skies and starlight abundantly, galaxies and universes, other places where life is too. Can we not see harmony in the skies? Every life is not just as we are. And every life here on Earth is not as we might think it is. These human bodies are a vehicle. Many types of beings are in these vehicles. Entities from other areas of the galaxy. It's true. Some of you, as you go through this awakening process, might find and feel inside your place of origin. Some people are very influenced by entities on the astral plane. If they got made that dangerous closed mind link we discussed earlier and never allowed their soul to enter and take root and built up pain and resentment for never having had the chance to live the life they were born to live, then entities can link onto this pain and feed off of this pain, fuse with this pain, and enter in the body and act out through it. I know it sounds scary, but we need to know about it so that we can become aware of it. Because just becoming aware of it, we rise to a place of where we can be unaffected. But if we do not know, or even know to consider these things, then we have no chance. These are things that, as time goes on, and we talk more on air, we'll become more familiar with and get used to. This goes back to the concept of mental territory that I was talking of in our last show. Just allowing ourselves to consider these possibilities then leads us to a place of where our mind is expanded, and what we are presented with we'll be able to deal with without losing ourselves. A lot of times the situation that presents itself in the world overwhelms us and takes us into it. But as we practice these techniques every day, we can use the world to contrast these things, to contrast and to make more solid our center. as we decide each decision we make for ourselves and each victory in our own life we achieve in this method, we become deeper and deeper in tune with the way it works. And we can learn to trust it until simply a thought can manifest itself. I remember Barry Long saying one time in one of his books that once we begin this process, we kick in a whole other set of rules, because now we are responsible for ourselves. We take responsibility for everything we've done. Every harm we've ever caused, every choice we make, every good thing too. And it all, but that's the beauty of it, to be responsible for your life and to benefit from your own choices. We become a farmer of the soil of our own potential. As we move on into the weeks ahead, I look forward and encourage you to, when you do call and we do talk about these things, to feel like you can open up about it. That's what I'm here for. That's why we do this. Not just to spread out an abstract message, but this is more like a call, something that, if it is for you, will ring a bell. You'll feel a harmonic resonance with it. And then we can begin exploring. It is so many things that there's no way to nail it down. That's the essence of Zen, of what Zen is that we can't say what it is. Well, what do you mean you can't say what it is? Aha, woo, bah, wee. You see where I'm going? Ah, oh, eep. Something different, something out of your frame of reference that might startle you for a moment into that point of where, hey, I can reach in and touch your soul and give it some energy, some nourishment, some encouragement. Doesn't take much, and once it starts happening, once you kind of get the knack of how this works, it starts happening on its own. You'll find yourself walking into a bookstore, and it won't just be a hodgepodge. There will be a book that will stand out, practically fly off the shelf, as they say, into your hand, and you will read it and know that it was perfect for you to read at that moment. There's so many books I look back on and feel that way. Even a friend of mine right now is reading one of those books, the Celestine Prophecy. Talks about very important aspects of this whole process, the synchronicity and learning to recognize the signs as they present themselves in your life. Even as I said before, every atom of existence has a intelligence behind it. You could be looking at your cat, and cats are famous portals into other realms, as many of you who have cats know. But if we look deeply enough into the cat, into the cat's eyes, we might see the intelligence of the universe staring back at us through the cat. You see, the cat's there, but also the singularity behind the cat is there. And that singular intelligence is the same thing that's behind us. That's how we can get looser, as we stop seeing ourselves according to these definitions. Free of definitions and going with the flow, we tune into the universe and not just find ourselves in accord with it, but we find ourselves it. We become it, and it becomes us. And then it lives through us. When we become awakened and fully integrate our soul with our body and make the link for ourselves with the universe and serve the will of the Lord, then truly blessings will come upon us and all that we ever hoped could be will be so. As I like to do a lot of the times, I'd like to end the show with a meditation. Before we get into that, I just want you to know also that we're going to be having music on the show very soon as well. Some of my compositions, and next week our guest artist, we're going to feature one of his compositions that we have her working by next week. Also a collaboration by the two of us to end the show. But today I'd like to end it with a meditation that encourages us to overcome the inhibitions that we spoke of earlier, that hesitancy to act out the extremes. And since we've gone through so much heavy territory today, I thought it would be nice to release and send everyone on their way with the laughing meditation. And what this is even if you don't feel happy or you're feeling down or depressed or something, this is a way to help lift you out of it and to activate some spirit energy and cleanse your auric field. It's simple. It's laughter. It's just laughter. And you just got to get started with the laughter. And even if you don't totally feel like it right away, we all know, we all know laughter is contagious. So allow yourself to laugh. And you know, it might be a little awkward at first, even as we begin, but, some of you are feeling what I'm talking about, and you're feeling and just listening how the effect that it has and just how it lifts your spirits. And it's a very nice little technique to try out, is to just start laughing and allow the laughing to take over, and it will do its thing and you'll feel good. So, yeah, thank you for sharing this with me tonight. It's a really fun opportunity to express myself and talk about some of the inner workings of the subconscious. So have a good evening, and yeah, like I said, join me next week as we have our first guest and we explore the topics transcendence and awareness. Goodbye and good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blog and service.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.